Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
There will be a Black History event at the Egg in Albany on Saturday, February 28th, that will combine music, speeches, and a panel discussion to mark the 50th anniversary of the Selma to Montgomery civil rights marches and to discuss ongoing civil rights efforts. The keynote speakers will be Dr. Mark Morrison Reed and Coley Clark. Dr. Mark Morrison Reed joins us now. His most recent book is The Selma Awakening, How the Civil Rights Movement Tested and Changed Unitarian Universalism. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Mark Morrison Reed to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
It's wonderful to have you with us. When you attend events like this, give us a sense of what you ultimately, the message that you like to get across.
Well, so I'm a historian, and so I try to contextualize what happened, and that will be my plan for Saturday, to show there was actually a natural outcoming, and I would say actually an upcoming of what went before, but it's always the case. But in this case, I'm going to point in part to World War II and way that not just liberated Europe, but actually liberated African Americans in ways I don't think we expected. So it may be a bit odd, but I historically reference to put what happened in context to make more sense out of it.
What kind of context do you think is necessary?
This was not some magical event. It made perfect sense, and it was people were beginning to capture this spirit after the war of what human liberation meant, and that in fact, if you look at the civil rights movement, well, you might say then the women's movement was a child of that, the gay rights movement was a child of that, the anti-war movement, the anti-poverty movement. You can all actually see emerging from the same people and the same impetus, the same kind of energies around human freedom, liberation, that you saw inspired by the civil rights movement. And so I want to point to that and actually show how that's still active, that the American Revolution that we think of 1776, in fact, was an ongoing revolution, that revolution didn't include women, it didn't include African Americans, it didn't include Native Americans. And in fact, what we've seen was it was not a one-time event. In fact, it's an ongoing event and has been ongoing for over 225 years. And that's the way we need to see it, that it's been passed on to us, and questions what the next phase in the American Revolution looks like.
Can that be discouraging to realize that while some progress has been made, it is still... there are still facets and there are still large segments of the population that have not won a victory in that particular revolution?
We tend to look at things in our own lifespan, and we tend to look in smaller increments. If you look at larger historical sweeps of time, in fact, we've made enormous progress. So it has to do with our tendency for immediate gratification, our expectations, especially in a technological age, that things are going to happen right now, this moment, and my expectations are going to be met right now. But if you look over the sweep of time, there's no question that in the 50 years, no one imagined Obama being president in 1965. I mean, it wasn't on the screen. No one was talking about, they were still functioning, I would say, patriarchy. Even as liberated as many of the people were, and this problem, one of the problems with the movie, they point out, is actually the central role women play, but that doesn't get played up very much. So it has actually, and no one was talking about gay rights at all. Bernard Rustin was completely, they used it to blackmail Bernard Rustin, right, to try to marginalize him. So I think we've made enormous steps forward, in fact, but we can't look in short time, periods of time. We have to look look at longer periods of time.
And I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. However, I was just in watching the Academy Awards last night. You saw several winners get up and talk about equal pay for women and talking about mass incarceration of African Americans and pay equality for African Americans. I mean, there are still... We are not looking for immediate gratification in those areas. These are fights that have been going on for decades. And at what point do you get discouraged and say, okay, well, if not now, when is this going to change?
Because discouragement doesn't lead anywhere.
Right.
I mean, that's the problem. Discouragement doesn't lead anywhere. Hope leads somewhere. Being engaged in pushing it forward leads somewhere, giving a vision. I mean, King never, you know, he spoke about being the mountaintop and knowing he would not reach the mountaintop, but being completely confident that we would get there. So the trouble with discouragement, yes, we naturally feel it, and we have to recognize, you know, we have to hold that and notice it, but it doesn't have a forward momentum. It doesn't lead us forward. It doesn't lead us to hope. It doesn't lead us to say, what next? What incremental thing can I do to push, take this agenda forward? And that's the problem with discouragement. It's not that we won't feel it, but it needs to be seen as a passing phenomena that we do in the face of the fact that there is mass incarceration, that Black lives do not seem to matter as much as other lives, that at this moment we have to worry, you know, how we treat Muslims and Islam in this context, that these things still, we have to have hope, because if you don't have hope, then what do? You pack up and go home?
Mm.
Where does discouragement lead?
You are in much demand as a preacher, having spoken to nearly 200 Unitarian Universalist congregations. Your new book is The Selma Awakening, How the Civil Rights Movement Tested and Changed Unitarian Universalism. What do you think is important, the message that we learn from that?
I had the honor of talking to dozens and dozens of largely Unitarian Universalist ministers who went to Selma. And the thing that struck me was how their lives were transformed. That today when I, and that, you know, it's an older generation now, as I read their obituaries, if they went to Selma, it's almost invariably mentioned that they went to Selma. If you talk to any of them, they'll talk about it being the high point of their life. It's what it did was it was putting their values into action and testing, putting them into relationship to people they wouldn't otherwise have been in relationship with, to ask them to risk everything to be in relationship with these people and relationship with this cause. And anytime you do that, anytime you step out of your comfort zone, anytime you step into relationship, authentic relationship with someone, anytime you live out of your value system, your life becomes more fuller, becomes more whole. You feel differently about yourself, and you actually feel more whole, as hard as it is. And they were miserable at times. They were ultimately more hopeful because of that.
Mm. In that hope, how infectious do you think that hope becomes? I mean, as we have events like this and we talk about this 50th anniversary, I mean, an anniversary is always a good time to assess something, isn't it?
Right. So my hope is that I will inspire people to go out and engage. Now, what I don't pretend to know is what the issues in Albany that need to be engaged are going to be. You know, whether it's about income equality, is it about mass incarceration? I mean, is it the relationship to the police force? I can't pretend coming from outside,
right.
But I can talk. I can talk about being hopeful and going out and engaging. As Clark Olson, who was one of the three men that was beaten, who was with Reeb when he was beaten, said, "I just decided to go.
Mm.
I just decided to go." It's like just deciding to go, deciding to engage, deciding to be in relationship. And if anything, that's what I'm kind of cheerleading, if you want to say that, is to engage in these causes and with your life. And that, you, in fact, you'll get enormous amounts yourself when you go out and engage. And it's not just for them or for others. It's actually for yourself. And that's always the case when you're in a relationship with someone, when you've built a friendship, when you're engaged in some other community that you might not otherwise engage in. It becomes, it's not just about for them anymore. It actually becomes for you as a group because you discover this solidarity.
As you said, you don't pretend to come into a community and know what the individual issues are, but traveling around to various communities, you certainly see trends and similarities.
And I live in Canada.
Yeah.
I'm in Toronto, and I have to say, if you're in Canada, it really depends. If I'm in Winnipeg, it's got to be Native issues. If I'm in Quebec, it's actually continues to be the French language issues. So in Canada, it varies a lot depending on where you are. And I think in the United States, again, if you're in the Southwest, you're going to have a different set of issues than if you're in Florida, than if you're in Michigan.
Mm.
The issues are always there, and the issues around human relationship and human, liberation and justice are always there. But the most pressing issue is really going to be different depending on where you're located in the United States.
Well, it's going to be an amazing event and a wonderful day filled with great events. There is going to be music and panelists and wonderful speakers, including our guest and Coley Clark, as I mentioned, who was just on our show recently. It's SELMA 50th anniversary, a celebration of the continuing struggle for voting rights. It takes place this Saturday. February 28th, from 1 to 3 at the Swire Theater at the Empire State Plaza in the Egg in Albany, New York. And you can find out more information by going to the Egg. And also there is this wonderful website, which is albanyselma50.org, which has all the information. albanyselma50.org. Again, the SELMA 50th anniversary event with music, a panel discussion, and keynote speakers Coley Clark and Mark Morrison Reed will take place in the Egg Swire Theater on Saturday, February 28th from 1 to 3 p.m. For more information, albanyselma50.org. Mark Morrison Reed, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us, and we welcome you to town on Saturday. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
Great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.